afternoon. Today is Thursday, October the 10th, 280th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon out from Cuttonway.
Way out there, way up high.
Yes. And the Humboldt Community Services District as well. That's right, because you're on the second floor.
Absolutely.
You really are close to
second
the
floor on the ridge.
Yeah. Dave Hull is alongside. Good afternoon, guy.
Hi, Brian. Good to see you again.
Yeah, you brought out all the fun stuff, including your visitor pass. Ooh. That's,
well, yeah, you know.
Ooh, a V for
visitor. I have to get one here, you know, now. Security and all.
Oh, yeah. This afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about, well, the sphere of influence. We've heard about that typically during times of cities looking to annex certain areas. So we'll talk a little bit about that as the Services District is considering, contemplating, or at least doing a little bit of research about sphere of influence. Also, the McKay track is that we'll have some influence out certainly in the Cutton area. Martin Slough has been probably 6 months or so since we've heard about that. Heard an interesting story about that one we'll bring up also. And then, did you see FEMA in town a couple weeks ago? They were here. Dave knows why, and we'll talk about that also.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hull. Really looking for a tortured quote for you, Turkey.
You always do, too.
Yeah. Well, I got Kermit the Frog, but everybody's heard that one.
Kermit's good. Anything Babylonian or anything?
I'm working that way.
How about Neptune?
How about Evan Davis? Evan Davis said, quote, "Nice guys finish last, but we get to sleep in."
There you go. See?
Oh. I would imagine there's nothing more scintillating than talking about infrastructure or spheres of influence. Yeah, they just are.
I hope everybody's got their no-dos.
Oh, no-dos. Boy, I hope they have their notepads. The concept of sphere of influence, I think, is pretty easy for most folks to grasp, that just because a city line or a county line goes, at most times, at the edge of the street instead of the weird thing that Eureka has where it's in the middle of the street. Okay, the guys across the street, the block away, 2 blocks away, quarter mile away, are impacted by some of the things that go on the other side of that political boundary line. Is that pretty much what sphere of influence is?
Yeah, it really is. The sphere of influence is just as you described it. It's beyond the boundary, the official, you know, legislated boundary of a particular government agency. But there are, of course, like you said, across the street, there are things that happen that affect the district, the city, the county, the whatever. And so a sphere of influence allows a better discussion and more fuller access to planning, including those areas and interactions between those areas. Technically, a sphere, I wrote it down here, is a plan for the probable ultimate physical boundaries and service area of a local government agency. So that's all.
I thought it was an orb.
Well, it could be an orb. It could be a rectangle.
The sphere came hurtling through the air, Mighty Casey.
Yeah. That's one kind of sphere.
Okay.
This is a sphere of influence. It's sort of an esoteric thing, but you can put it on paper. So it's not the boundary, but it's a way to look at where you may be doing service in the future. If there's areas for potential growth, if there's areas that look like they would be better serviced by a particular district or municipality than they are right now, the sphere of influence exercise is really where the first step in that process goes.
So I know that there are jurisdictions historically that have claimed sphere of influence and self-determined that they should have influence in another jurisdiction's determinations. I think the one I can recall most was either Target, with Arcata making the claim, or Walmart, with a couple of different communities making the claim that they should somehow be able to weigh in and have just as much influence on the determination as the jurisdiction of record. Some of us say unfair. So where do you get into that equation? How much does that influential sphere have versus the legally recognized jurisdiction?
The jurisdictional boundary, right. The jurisdictional boundary is the jurisdictional boundary. So whatever the entity, the government entity that has that control over that jurisdictional boundary, you know, they're the say within that. The sphere of influence makes it, it's almost the other way around, Brian. It's almost so if something isn't in your sphere of influence, you really don't have much of a leg to comment on. If you've gone through this exercise,
so it's a limiter then.
And your sphere has covered that, then you do have some ability to comment on it because it has been determined through LAFCO that it is something that's necessary for you to keep an eye on. You don't have any regulatory jurisdiction over it, but you do have the ability to comment on it and plan around it. And potentially, remember in the city context, you mentioned this in the opening, really a sphere of influence in a lot of regards is the first step toward annexation, toward expanding that boundary. So
if Rio Del was going to put in an auto mall, which would have potentially negative economic impact to Fortuna, Eureka, and the county in McKinleyville, could they claim sphere of influence?
If it's within their city limits, then they just get to do it. If it's going to be outside,
okay, let's
they say
make
we're going to make an industrial park outside the city.
Metropolitan.
And we're going to annex. We're thinking we want to annex Metropolitan. So,
Wait a sec. Metropolitan folks is on the east side of the Eel River, just north of the bridge. Across the highway, so to speak, from the old Eel River sawmills.
There you go. Okay. For you history buffs.
Well, just so, you know, Metropolitan, New York City.
No. So what happens, and this is the mechanical process, Rio Del in this example would do sort of like we're doing. They do a boundary change if it's outside their boundary. They'd go to LAFCO and they'd say, we're thinking of maybe annexing Metropolitan, we'd like to go ahead and go through this sphere of influence change and then maybe lead toward annexation. What happens then is LAFCO then is the independent regulatory authority that looks over these competition things you're talking about the whole, there's a whole basket full of state laws that go with that they have to process to be able to approve it. So same thing with us. So if mechanically we've got a consultant on board now. They're going to go out and do a bunch of research, look at our municipal service review to see where service we may be expanding services in the future.
We'll use that as a tease. Yeah. Yes. We'll find out why we've been talking about the sphere of influence when we come back. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated...
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hull. Dave, before the break, we had spend a little bit of time talking about definitionally what sphere of influence was. We were using an example. You guys are considering this additional component, if you will, to the services district. What's driving this ship?
The driver really is that the last time the district did anything with its sphere of influence in a district-wide sense was in 1985. So things have changed in the county since then. The only exception to that is you remember in the early 90s, we actually extended our service area to include freshwater for water service. And so that was it. But ever since then, things have changed. You know, subdivisions are starting to go in. People are planning things all around the services district. Remember, we kind of encircle the city of Eureka. So
envelop was a term I've heard used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blanket, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it covers that area, and there has been changes. That's where some of the growth you know, could be, has been talked about happening. There's been some kind of false starts on some subdivisions and things out there.
So that's the basis of this.
Yeah, there was a period in the 90s when the district went to the county and said, you know, we're going to do the same thing we're doing right now. We're going to look at our sphere of influence. They said, no, wait, you'll love this. We're just starting
general plan.
So wait. So we're not waiting anymore.
So yeah. Waiting for Godot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's just a good time to do it. The city of Eureka is doing the same thing, which is right, you know, right up against us. And so, there's probably going to be places where the spheres will overlap, which is all okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, I'm going to come back to the thing. It's LAFCO's, you know, kind of the final arbiter in the whole thing. So, but for the data collection, for looking at what kind of services might be out some years and what would make sense to annex, which things might not in the future, this is the first step in it.
There's been a fair amount of discussion about the concept and talked a little bit about it with Sheriff Downey yesterday. Consolidation, that kind of seems to be, I don't know, in the air right now. Whether it's dispatch, whether it's the fire district, is this time to consider? I mean, would it be that difficult to have the services district meld with the cities that you're adjacent to and have a larger but more coordinated infrastructure and water delivery system in this part of the county?
You know, it'll probably come up because that's a discussion that from the short time I've been at Humboldt Community Services District, I've heard the history of that has come and gone, a lot like the fire did. You know, that went on and on, off and on for a couple of decades before it actually happened. There's kind of two ways of looking at it, and we'll get to that in a minute.
No, 6 decades.
Oh, 6 decades.
Yeah, yeah. I see. I can't do that on one hand. You know, many think I can, but no, I need two hands on that one. Yeah. I mean, it took a long time.
Yes.
And the political climate had to be right. That's what I was wondering now with some of the different things that are going on, if the political climate might be right and you guys could draft in behind what's kind of already been tilled for you with the city merging with a duly elected outside board entity and kind of bring things together.
Well, I think these are the things that The sphere of influence that us and the city are doing that's a good opportunity to have those discussions. But there isn't really any real driver, and it could go either direction. You know, it could be, you know, absorbed into the city, or the other way around is the service district could take over water and wastewater for the city.
Could you guys kind of
It could go either way, and there's a lot of discussion, just like the fire thing was.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, there were memorandums of agreement. Our understanding with the two fire departments. I mean, we'll just pick on Ken because
we can.
He's not going to show up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So looking at the same thing, you guys are responsible for part of the plumbing.
Right.
That feeds right into
their
city plumbing.
That's right.
And vice versa. So you know, you're not like two separate entities not connected to one another. You're having to kind of hold hands and skip down the lane together anyway. Okay.
It's true.
That's right. You don't have to apologize for that truth.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
Is the timing good for the discussion? Do you sense that it would be a healthy discussion to have anyway, regardless of the outcome?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's always good, you know, as you have different board members move through things, as times change. Again, this is an opportunity that certainly the service district hasn't had it at the top of the list, not any kind of a integration sort of a thing, but at least looking at our boundaries for, you know, 30 years. So
you guys are doing a little investigation on this, bringing in a couple of guys to take a look, see at it, and see
what
happens.
Yeah, we actually retained SHN to do the sphere of influence boundary.
I know those guys.
You do?
Amazing.
Many of them.
Yeah. And I still like them.
Shop local,
you know? Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Dave Hall.
Are you thinking about opening or expanding your business in McKinleyville? Come see what the McKinleyville Shopping Center has to offer. We're holding an open house for prospective tenants this Wednesday, October 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. We have great lease rates and incentives. Benefit from the foot traffic generated by quality businesses like Safeway, Ramon's Bakery, Subway, and Napa Auto Parts. Call us at 268-1800 with any questions or visit McKinleyvilleShoppingCenter.com. Come join us this Wednesday from 4 to 7.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hull from the Humboldt Community Services District. Dave, it's been a long time since we've heard about the Martin Slough Interceptor Project. I mean, it's kind of ingrained in my subconscious because it's been out there for so long. What's going on with that? What's the status? Is it continuing to be developed and worked? Is it going to happen on time? What's going on there?
It's rolling along really well. Just for those of you that don't know, the Martin Slough Interceptor Project is a joint project between the City of Eureka and the Humboldt Community Services District. And it's basically to reroute the sewer flows through the Martin Slough drainage. Well, where's that? That's basically from Harris south, if you will, through city limits. So it takes in the golf course and, you know, that whole Pine Hill and that whole area through there. So The basic premise of it, and you're right, it started like in 2002 or 3 or something like this, was the concept. The primary goals were to save energy, to save money from saving energy, and for the elimination of a bunch of pump stations, a bunch of sewer lift stations, and to better protect the environment, because it's, you know, sewer lines through a lot of that area are old. And you get new technology and things like this. But so saving energy, saving money, protecting the environment, that's and getting rid of a lot of operation and maintenance costs was the big driver for the thing. So this has gone on for quite a while. It's about a $24 million project, which we've got about $8 million in grants.
Is it a big project? It seems like it would be a big project to take 12 or 13 years. But then again, we are using the general plan update as a reference, and you know, that kind of throws things out, you know, after 25 years, who knows if it's expensive or not. It just is there.
Yeah.
So this is big on the scale for the service.
It's big
district.
On the scale, and for the timeline, for being 10 years out from kind of the beginning of it, it's really moving along for a government project. You know, there's a lot of planning time. There's a lot of time to acquire.
Now, you're not referencing to the feds being closed and that counting it towards.
Maybe.
Oh, okay, fine.
You know, there's a lot of time nowadays for permitting. You know, that can add a substantial amount of time to everything, the mitigations that go with it, and then the actual construction is usually the shortest thing. In this case, though, construction is a big deal because it's over a pretty big area. And it's really divided into maybe four pieces. I think you can divide it up. The first one was to put in the big interceptor line that goes through here, the big gravity. Rather than pumping all these 14 pump stations up to sewer lines and moving the sewage along, keeping it moving along, making one big line, so you got it up to a place, it runs downhill to a big pump station. So the first phase is putting in this big interceptor line. That's completed. That's all done. Putting in a pump station, then that pumps it one time over to the treatment plant. That's the one that's at the golf course. You've been driving on Herrick out there. You've seen the pump station going in. That's essentially done, too. That was a big, big job. Some really interesting pictures that I've got right here, if you can see them.
Ooh. You know, there's nothing like sewage that just infrastructure that gets my attention. I want to commend you for bringing those by, too. Appreciate that.
It's a pretty awesome construction project. Anyway, then The next piece is to run this, what we call a force main, which is a pressure line from the pump station, essentially drilling under Pine Hill, and then on the bay side of Pine Hill, there's another place that would pick it up there and would move it over under the freeway and over to the Elk River Wastewater Treatment Plant.
So that's out in the field?
Yes, that'd be out in the field. And we've gone through a couple things. We've awarded, we being us in the City of Eureka, have awarded the the part that's going under Pine Hill, and that's actually the contractor's been hired. They're getting ready to start doing that as we speak. The other piece, the city rejected the bids on that, and they're moving ahead on rebidding the project because it came in about $2.5 million over the engineer's estimate. So they went back to the, they scrapped it, and went back and redesigned it, and they're getting ready to deal with that. So all said and done. Oh, and then the last phase. Okay, so then we've got the whole thing, right? We got the big interceptor, the pump station, the force main to the treatment plant. The last phase then is what we call putting the collectors in. So these are the parts that go to that interceptor and either reversing the flow at these lift stations or removing them all together. So,
oh, really? So that kind of clean, that's the last thing that cleans everything.
That's right. That
brings it all together.
That hooks it to, all to the system, and then off we go. And the way it's going, it's pretty much on the city schedule, which is, I think, sometime in 2015, should all be online.
Major project, obviously. How do you go underneath Pine Hill?
They got this drilling machine that drills and drags the pipe with it.
So it's kind of like how they do mining?
Yes.
Well, that's got to be cool.
It is cool.
Have you been able to watch?
They haven't started yet.
Oh, okay.
But they're close.
Do you have instructional videos?
Yes.
Oh, look, yeah. You brought those also.
Yeah, see? Now look at this. See that? Isn't that incredible?
Okay, fine. Yeah
that's fun right there.
That's going to be cool.
It is cool. It's very cool.
To see that, it would be, I think, interesting if, I don't know how you can do it, but to somehow let the community know.
Yeah.
What kind of technology is being used in this thing? It's not just, you know, grabbing a shovel, slapping mud in the pile next to you, and
digging a big trench or something.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this is cool stuff. So, from an infrastructure thing, that's as cool as it gets.
I would think that's. Now, is this obviously it's state of the art by definition? But is this something that is a learning opportunity? Are other communities looking at this as an example of
honestly,
how they can do things?
It's relatively common.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you got to go under. But I think what's happened is it's not really new technology, but it's they apply it a lot more now because you can avoid wetland impacts if you go under them. You can avoid going through streams or building a bridge because you can go under them. The bay, you can go under it and avoid all kinds of dredging and stuff. It's a thing that really minimizes environmental impacts.
So it's pretty
doing this thing.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't want to be in the Rockies.
No. No, drilling through goo and sand is probably better.
Yes, it is. KINS, News and Information, Time 342. We'll be back with more from Dave Hall.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hall. Dave, the concept of something like infrastructure like that, there's a lot of different folks, a lot of different entities. We mentioned in the introduction part, FEMA was in town. Okay, you know, you got the federal level that has to do stuff. You mentioned wetlands. Hooray, hooray, Coastal Commission and all those guys that are involved. But you've also got the local jurisdictions that are involved. You'd mentioned that it's because everything kind of is connected. Eureka is part of it, as well as the county public works are part of it. How is that like working with these different entities for a project that's this long? Realizing, of course, you haven't been there for that total length of time, but does that make it easier because you've got three or four staffs and a lot of resources, or does it make it really difficult because you're trying to avoid the camel by committee?
I think in these cases, in our community here, I think we're really fortunate to have several of the government folks and the local agencies that have been here for a long, long, long time. So we've had an opportunity to work together on many different things. You know, we know each other, we see each other, we, you know, don't have a problem picking up the phone. You know, and we're very, very cooperative amongst the agencies that are here. It's really...
So it's kind of like a single department?
It's kind of like we all work for the same thing. Yeah, exactly right, exactly right. We've had Kurt Gerlich, who was the former city engineer at the city of Eureka. He's he's still the project manager for the Martin Slough project. And so, you know, we just had him out a couple of board meetings
ago. Been retired 25 years and still, yes.
We had him out to the Humboldt Community Services District to give the board a, you know, slideshow and go through the status of the Martin Slough project itself. You know, I don't have a problem calling him up at all, and he knows where I am, and, you know, we just work great. And I think you see that on a lot of these kind of projects. We have in the piece of business I'm in now with the water thing, you know, there's this thing that Carol Reisch from the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District has probably talked about, this Muni meeting she has. It's the group of her municipal customers, of which HCSD is one of them. You know, that's a great group. It's all the managers of all of her customers, that we all do water and wastewater and buy water from her and cooperate and collaborate on all kinds of things. So
when a project like this then does get completed, and it's something that large and that time-consuming and that much of a focus, is the next project kind of overlooked? Just because you're not going to be tackling anything like this for a while, does that next project still get proper vetting, proper attention, proper resources?
I want to say yeah. My hesitation is it does depend on these intergovernmental relationships that are there, and you can't just drop in a whole bunch of new people and, you know, have everything work swimmingly. You know, it really does take some time to form those relationships and the trusts and whatever to make these big projects work. So I would like to say yeah, but it really depends on the new group, which I'm sure is going to do just fine when we have another giant project come along.
Now, you used two really brutal puns in the same segment.
Mm-hmm.
Swimmingly.
Mm-hmm. It's a water thing.
Sewer was more the concern. And then you made that time-honored downhill reference. It flows downhill.
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to be sure that your public speaking can improve as soon as this project's over as well.
Yeah, I doubt it.
What's next on the horizon here? But you get this one locked and loaded, and it's flowing. You have the party.
Yep.
Everybody
well,
celebrates.
Exactly right. Well,
what's
you know, not to be, you know, overly party kind of thing, but I think it is important just from a philosophical standpoint to step back after something like this, some 10-year long thing, and kind of, you know, stop for a minute and say, you know, wow, this was a great deal. We got it done, and, you know, whatever. It's a natural tendency, I think, for a lot of us to just say, okay, that's done. Tomorrow we'll start on the next one. You know, and I think you actually got to take a minute and just you know, not overdo it, but just take a minute and enjoy it. It's a big deal. It costs a lot of money. It's going to save a lot of money in this community. It's going to serve the community for decades ahead. So
when you still got the plastic pipes replacing some of the older pipes, so
exactly,
infrastructure continues to get attention.
Yes,
I could be your PR guy.
You could be. You are my PR guy.
Thanks for coming by, Dave.
Thanks.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Dave Hall. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.